Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tuning In with Tony, where we're going to talk about the extension of depression. And this is our third part that we're going to do. This is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers. I'm one of them to talk about various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. Today's color is white. If you have a white shirt, a white crystal, a moonstone is good. And the theme itself is natural instinct. Just to do a little recap, Spirit sees that repetition is really an important thing, especially when it comes to this particular subject of depression, because so many people suffer from it, and yet there are so few ways that people can get out of it. There are some countries that have many, many different ways of how to do it, but we're not taught this in school. We're not taught how to do it, and our whole system is so that they don't want to know how and who you are. They want you to have that in that way. But no matter how you are feeling it, it is that inward decline. And we're going to explain a little bit about what it is. Spirit's definition of depression is, as we are in the world looking for answers, it's usually what happens when we're looking for answers and solutions to things. We are in that mode of what they call compression. We're compressing all of the solutions together, and we're attracting them into our energy to look at because we have a certain question about something. We could have a question about, I want to go to a certain university, let's say. And then you're going to collect all this information, comprise them all together, and look at, well, am I going to go to Ryerson? Am I going to go to MTI or whatever? And so it's all about collecting something to be able to find an answer. Now, that mode of compression is a forward motion, let's kick the ceiling type of energy that you are just excited to research and to gather this information energetically and, of course, cognitively. But when you don't find the answer outside of you, then, of course, then we move inside, which is usually always where the real answers are. When you move inside and there is some negative definition you have of yourself, which conflicts with that of the energy, then you will have this decline, and it's called depression. It's almost like a short in an electrical wire. If you know what a short is, it's when the positive and negative are connected, and let's say one of the wires get loose and connect to the ground and the power at the same time, and that creates a spark. It's not good. It creates fires. It creates all kinds of havoc that way in a home, of course. But of course, anything that's a short is that there's no circuit, there's no movement of energy, it shorts out. So that's why they call it depression in that way, because it's an internal decline. For instance, if you have the idea that, let's say I don't have any friends, I've never had any friends, I'm not really a lovable person. Anytime I've had anybody introduce themselves to me, it's always because in my past, I've always had people that hurt me, that they crossed me or somehow undermined me. So when they say, hi, how you doing? I want to be your friend. Right away, those types of people with that definition thinks, okay, there's an ulterior motive why this person wants to be my friend. In other words, they want something from me. But very few people do. What they want to do is say hi. They just want to be a friend. There might be a few people that are looking always for victim, but however, those are really attracted anyway. But when you have that belief that everyone is out to get you, and that is not the truth, so you have a negative definition on something inside, All of a sudden, somebody wants to be your friend, and he says, no, I'm not going to do that. And all of a sudden, you go into depression. You're depressed now, and at the same time, you're complaining that you don't have any friends. You see how that cycle keeps going? And that's what they call that depressive state, because there's a negative definition inside of you that you feel is something that you are nurturing, you're holding on to, and you think that that is the truth. So it's like an implosion. Something comes in and it just sort of explodes inward. It's like being underwater, 20,000 feet or however deep you have to go before the submarine crushes like a tin can. It's not something that is a chemical reaction or a chemical imbalance in the brain. It is not that, and it is not from hereditary. Even though you might have had it when you were young and then you know that your parents had some depression and your grandparents had it, that could be true, but it's always because in some way they were holding something negative inside of them that was conflicting with the natural order of things, and then they felt depression. So in other words, it's not that you have anything in your blood, it's just that you're repeating the same pattern. And the moment you start changing the pattern and addressing whatever those beliefs were, you'll start seeing that the depression won't be so much adamant about how things are going. Depression is repressed anger. It just stores up and it has no place to go. It just bounces around like a super ball inside of your system and everything it hits it, and it hurts. It's not so much it doesn't exist, or we don't want to give you the impression that depression is in your head. It does hurt and it is painful, and that's why they're talking about it that way. They're talking about it in such a way that it will make sense as soon as you start realizing what negative definition about yourself do you have. Most of it is I'm not enough, or I can't do something. Because of my age, I can't do this. Because of my youth, I can't do this. Because of my height, I can't do something. And it always has something to do with the negative description of yourself. So there are a few factors that really will highlight how a person that is more prone to depression will start about. Because you'll see it way, way before. And in time, it just sort of spins out of control. What usually happens is the first thing is complaining. Complaining is massive in the sense that people do most about complaining is they are the same people that have a lot to complain about. They complain that their car doesn't start. They complain about the mortgage rates are high. They complain about kids not behaving themselves in a restaurant. And there's this never-ending sort of barrage of things that they're complaining about because they're looking for flaws and they're accentuating it. And it's something that you really have to be careful of because in one sense, these people are influencers because they think the whole world is against them. How many times have you heard that? It's just like the whole world is against me. People actually say it. Life is not fair. There's lots of injustice. I can't believe somebody cut me off. I mean, I just started my day. I'm getting onto the freeway and there's nobody on the road and this guy cuts me off. When it's in your energy, it's like that is the first place that people will go to. Heard one the other day where an entire street where this plow is going, an entire street plowed the whole way, but in this one person that complains a lot, that's where all the snow ends up. So they would just plow their laneway, then the snowplow would come by, and there's 3 feet of snow at the end of their laneway. And they said it's always like that, and they're always complaining about it. But their neighbor, somehow, doesn't get the same take on it. They just said, oh, well, okay, we got to keep the streets clean, and they do it. And it's always the complainer that seems to get the brunt of it. And that's how they say it. It's just like everything is coming towards me. Everything's against me. But you got to realize every complaint, every time you say something, it's a spell. If you want to look at the heavier energies, that's what they really rely on is this area of creating a spell when they say something. And it says it over and over again, like, I just don't have any good friends. No matter what happens, I just can't seem to make enough money. No matter what happens, even if I get a raise, there's always something at the end of the week that comes up. I had this one number of years ago, I had a neighbor where I thought he was extremely lucky. Every time he went to the casino, always won. He always came back with $600 this time. I says, hey, that's great. He says, not really. You know, I have a $700 bill. I got to fix up my car. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that good then? You now have almost all of it to pay for that car. Yeah, but I can never get ahead. That's constantly what he said all the time. So he would take his car in. They'd save $500 to fix. Goes to pick it up. It's $1,200 because we found stuff, you know. In other words, stop the complaining. The complaining is a spell, and it is a way that you are reinforcing the very thing you do not want. And I know it sounds like when people say, yeah, but it's just reality. It is what it is. It's logical. You activate the sound first, and then the so-called logic comes in after. And it's very close, but it sounds like the world is happening, then you're reacting to it. But it's always the other way. It's always your take on everything, and then the world reacts. The world is a mirror of you. So if you know that, be careful of your words. The words are not empty. We did one segment where we talked about the power of words. All right, and they're not empty. They're basically the very fabric of what shapes your existence, shapes your life. Funny thing that it doesn't have to be your life that you could be complaining about. The thing about when people are complaining and they're always poking at their kids or their spouse, they're poking at their home or something, if you listen to it for an extended period of time, now in the beginning, you're going to think it's, oh, I'm not going to even listen. I just let them rant. And now if it's a family member, this is the only time it really comes into play. Through experience, I found that if it's a friend or something, you could sort of walk away from that eventually, just, you know, cut your ties and stuff. But if it's family, it's almost like you're stuck with them, you know, in a very loving way. But if they are complaining and you're listening to it, there will be some point that you will start connecting the dots in your life of what they are just complaining about. Oh yeah, I got high taxes too. Oh yeah, my car broke down too, and I just ended up getting a raise. You got to be careful because you could be a very positive-minded person. But when somebody shows you, oh, look at the flaw here. Oh, look at the flaw here. We don't look at the flaws. When we only look at the good things, you don't see the flaws. Like when I'm driving my motorcycle, I don't look at all the garbage in the laneways or all the garbage on the side of the road. All I see is the beautiful road ahead of me. But if somebody were to say, I'll give you $10,000 if you could tell me how many pieces of garbage that's on the side of the road, I says, okay, now I'm focused on that. I'm not looking where I'm going. There's not only a safety issue, but there's now I'm focused on something that really doesn't make any difference. And it's only the money that I'm being motivated to look for this. In other words, watch where you're focused on. And when other people are sort of guiding you through that, they're sort of showing you where the flaws are, and you will eventually see those flaws in your life. Depression occurs when we resist life in whatever it's presented to you, no matter what. Again, I know a lot of people, and there are some that will say things like, I just got a raise. And I says, hey, fantastic. This is what you wanted. Yeah, but after I pay the higher taxes, because now I'm in a different tax bracket, I'm going to end up almost making the same. So I'm not no further ahead. A couple of months ago, I see you got a new car. He says, yeah, I know. I had the old car for a while, and I had to get rid of that. But I'm also starting to have problems with this car. In other words, no matter what happens in this person's life, literally, if he wins, like something at the casino, or if he gets an inheritance or something, I can only imagine what would be the negative part of that, right? You can only see it. He says, oh, yeah, we'll probably take half of it or something. In other words, when a person is constantly forced to look at other people's lives in a negative way, you will be caught into that. So just be very careful how your friends or family are doing that, because know that it's going in. You know, you might be strong enough to be able to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to listen to that. The problem is your subconscious is a recording device. It's hearing everything, literally everything. There are things that I was doing when I was 10, like playing on the street with a stick, you know, with a little stream, because, you know, snow was melting and there was this nice little stream go by. I was out on the street playing with little sticks as it would float down the street, and I would follow it literally for like hundreds and hundreds of feet before I realized, oh, I'm pretty far from home. So I walked back. And why would I think of that? Because in that moment, a lot of things went in subconsciously. In doing that, I didn't hear all the cars honking their horn and stuff like that, or my dad saying, you know, just be careful on the street sort of thing. I was always very active that way. And it wasn't until I, you know, focused on that, that I started to see, yeah, I saw there were so many things that there was problems getting around some pieces of things on the road so that my little canoe, my pretend canoe, would get through and go down the street. But everything is being recorded. So just realize that. So if you know something's going in, just be really careful when you are in the midst of witnessing people complaining. The number two is make your day so that you are in some way trying to improve other people's lives. I'll give you a good example. When you are, let's say, down yourself, you know, you got your own problems, you got your own situations going on, and there's everybody is against you in some way. One way to get out of this depression state is to look for ways to make other people's life a little easier. A couple of examples. If I'm in a lineup where, you know, I'm going for my shopping and I've got about 55 items in my cart, I'm going up there and a guy behind me has three. He's holding a milk, bread, and eggs or something. He doesn't even need a cart. I'll just say, hey, please go ahead. You know, there's no reason you should be waiting. You're not going to take that long. You go ahead. He goes, really? Oh, man, thank you so much. I am in kind of a hurry. I says, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, you're not going to take very long. And the extra 2 minutes, I'll take longer than that getting to my car to load it in my car. So it's all good. Go ahead. So in somehow, even though I'm down, I have somehow made someone else's life a little easier, a little better in their journey. And that makes me feel good. And that makes me get me out of that depression. Word of note, when you are giving kindness, it's impossible to be kind and depressed at the same time. So for a little bit of a break, my lower declining energy, and you know, we all get down. I mean, even myself, I have to tune myself every day because I'm at a fairly high vibration. And I'm not boasting, it's just that it is what it is. And I've got to keep myself there. There's always that maintenance. It's like, you've lost your weight, now you're maintaining. So it's still a chore. It's still work to keep up and keep happy sort of thing. So in doing that, I always like to give some kindness. You know, if I know that I'm coming home and it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm parking my car in and my neighbor's garage door is open, could be any number of things. Maybe he hit the button or somebody hit the button and opened the garage door. And I know it's going to be open all night. On our street, I knock on his door. And if there's no answer, see everything's dark, I'll close the door for them because outside there's a panel where I can close the door. And I'll leave a little note. Hey, Steve, I left your garage door open. Oh, Tony, thank you very much. I got a snowblower in there and tires and stuff. I really appreciate that. Hey, it's okay. I didn't do it for praise. I just did it because I'm a good neighbor. I'm just a good person. In other words, I feel good to do that for other people. And in doing that, I feel better. In other words, so try and do a good thing for other people. If you're in a waiting line or whatever, try to bring some level of humor. There's this one time where we're waiting for my grandson to come out of school, and it was a kind of a cold day. We have pockets of warm weather and cold weather. Besides this other person that I don't know, I've never met them. Like, it's pretty cold waiting for the kids to come out of school. And so I turn over to him, and I says, summer's coming, right? Because yesterday it was like plus 10. For those that are in the States, that's about 50 degrees, so it's much warmer. He says, yeah, I know. And we're starting with conversation, and I can see and I can feel, because of what I do, I can feel this person's down. Whatever's happening at home or in his life, just to have a momentary break is just to have a nice person to talk to for 2 minutes, because within 2 minutes, the kids were already coming out. So for those 2 minutes, I invested that. I'm waiting anyway. Might as well make another person's day. Whatever, if you are in a depression, a little bit out, again, gives you a break from it. You give kindness, then it's the same thing. So that works out great. Another technique, this is a physical technique. I've been using this technique for many years, and it works great. It's called the eye muscle exercise. Not sure if anybody has heard that, but this is great for depression. It's also great for if you're trying to find an answer to something and it just doesn't come. Most of my questions are, I want to become closer to my higher self, or I want to be able to connect to something, maybe designing a class then there's some part of it that I have a question with, and it's just not coming. Because I know the suggested answer from another human, I'm getting, yeah, that's only part, but there's more to it. I'm feeling there's more to it. And it's frustrating because I usually will get it, but it's not coming. If I'm getting that way, what we do is called the eye muscle exercise. And what we do is this. You know how a grandfather clock works, where you have that pendulum halfway through, it goes back and forth, okay? So what you do is you pretend that there are two points, and your eye is going left, right, then left and right, but quite fast. You're not moving your head, you're just moving your eyes. It's almost like you should get two points. I have a point where I have several singing bowls, and two of them are at a pretty good height. And they're at the same height. So I look at one singing bowl at that height, then I look at the other one. Then I go back and forth, back and forth. And you do this back and forth for about 30 seconds to a minute. I've got it up now that I can do it within 2 to 3 minutes. I'll have an answer to my question. Because what happens is with the eye movement back and forth, it's almost like you're in super scanning mode. It's like you're going back and forth and you're almost reading like a book every 2 seconds. You know, it's just very rapid. Anytime your eyes move very quickly like that, it's because of fear. Like you could imagine if you're walking along the forest and you see a bear, you're looking at all over. Okay, where can I run? What can I do? Because you're in super scanning mode. And sort of, it's kind of like that. You put yourself in that mode and your eyes just go back and forth, back and forth. After that, I want you to envision an infinity symbol. You know how it goes? Like it's like an 8, but it's on its side. So you start off on one side in a counterclockwise rotation, start off and then do your infinity with your eyes. Again, don't move your head. You just move in your eyes in the infinity. If you can do this for 20 seconds or 30 seconds, I have my hat off to you because it is tough. But it gets your eyes in a motion where you're in super scanning. But in that infinity, you're looking for the area of grace where the answer is hidden. In that symbol. It's a symbol, okay? You go back and forth until you get it. Now, if that doesn't work, then the next one is what I call top-bottom, where instead of your eyes going side to side, left and right, real fast, you do it up and down. So if I have a clock right above me, and underneath there's an outlet. So I'll look at the clock, look at the outlet, look at the clock, and you go up and down real fast. Again, don't move your head. You just go up and down real fast. At the same time, in all these examples, you ask yourself the question, what do I do with the kids? Or what do I do with my husband or my wife or whatever? So whatever your question is, and then you're constantly waiting for the answer to pull itself out of that movement. It's in super scanning mode. All of a sudden, it just comes out. Rarely do I have to do all of them. I'll just do the first one back and forth, and I'll usually get something. But the infinity after, I'll almost always get something from that. Number 4 is another one, but this strategy is almost backwards from the last one. So instead of going into super scanning mode and you're searching, you're doing the exact opposite. It's called the universal space, and you're reserving space for this question. It's called the universal space. So what you do in this one is you ask yourself the question and then you wait for the opening and not think anymore. No scanning, no research, no thinking, nothing, zero. The best example I can give you is that let's say you walk into a home. You're going through a brand new house. Let's say they have it on as a model home and there's no furniture in any of the rooms. So you're walking into empty space. Walk into a big space. Hey, this could be a great dining room. I can see my Hutchin buffet over here. I can see my big table here with the 10 chairs. And then all of a sudden, in that empty space comes the answer. Then you walk into another room. Oh, this is awesome for my office. I can see my desk over there. I can see that there's a secretary over here doing all the other things. Then I have like another room where I have like a sound room where I'm doing my podcasts and stuff. That would be great. But nothing has happened. It's empty space. And the space creates the answers. So you're not scanning. What you're doing is just creating an emptiness. Absolute emptiness. And then wait for it to come out. So this is the one question I want you to start with. Now, what I do is I say, universe, how does this situation get better? So let's say the issue is you want to increase sales. Okay, you have a business and maybe there's a bit of a slump now and you're wondering how you can improve business. So with that in mind, okay, I'm thinking of what do I need to do, if anything, about increasing business? Universe, how does this get better? And you create that emptiness. And when you ask that, you create an absolute emptiness. And you wait for the answer to appear. That takes a little more practice because most people are very distracted, aren't they? All of a sudden, it's like, oh, we can do this, we can do this. No, we don't do that. That's scanning. The answer will present itself in the space, just like it did, like your desk didn't appear in the empty space when you went through the house, right? It just appeared. Yeah, my desk would be right here. And all of a sudden, you're getting this barrage of things coming into the room. You didn't cook that up. I'll give you another example. I'm going to give you a question because right now you have no thoughts in your head, right? You're not thinking of anything or anything. So I'm going to ask you, you ready? What do you want for supper? What came up? Some people might have said salmon, maybe some pasta, lasagna, pizza, whatever. I know I'm very Italian here. But let's say all of a sudden you weren't thinking of that food a moment ago. But when I said, what do you want for supper? Then all of a sudden these things come in. So it's not you choosing. It came out of nothingness to you. I hope that was more clear than the other one. Okay, so this is the one technique you can try. You ask the question and then you don't do anything. You just wait for the answer to come up. The fifth strategy here is called body shaking. This is really amazing for those that have severe depression. In other words, things that have been going on in your life, you're just being bombarded with bills, bombarded with people just wanting something from you, and you can't say no, or there's a whole bunch of things going on. You know, the people that now don't want to be your friends want to be your friends, and like you're overwhelmed. So this technique works good for that kind of thing. It's called body shaking. This particular technique has been around for thousands of years. It is not new. If you look at some of the old scriptures, they're probably talking about it. It came from India, China, like thousands of years ago, or at the same time as feng shui, and that was about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, and it's about body shaking. And if we look to animals, just to give you the best example, is when a lion is running after a zebra, all of a sudden it is life and death situation for the zebra. One is wanting the zebra because it has to feed their young, and the other is running for their life. So they're both in a very heightened position. And so let's say after several minutes and running, and you know, maybe you take them down and the zebra somehow got away and then got free. The zebra knows, because it's in the animal kingdom, that it cannot hold this fear, because that's what happens. The adrenaline's opened up. This was a life and death situation. I have to live. And so all of a sudden, this adrenaline comes in. The fear is right to the max, as you can possibly imagine. And then it gets away. Well, where do you think that energy is going? Nowhere. It doesn't come out. So animals know instinctively. You'll see them after. They're shaking. Their whole body is shaking to get all that out. And I'm going to do a demonstration here just before we do go into a meditation. But your whole body has to shake, because your kidneys is one organ that will hold all that fear. And that's got to come out. That is going to create a lot of problems kidney-wise. It's going to create problems in your liver. It's going to create problems in your whole intestine area, because it's just like having a pipe bomb or a live mine in your system. And all it takes is one person to say something and it will explode. In other words, that's where the rage comes from. Like, this is repressed anger that has no place to go. Like, who would want that? It's like having a propane tank in your house. Who would want that? That's why they say you can't bring the propane tanks indoors. If you take it in, you could be fined, you know, all this, because it's a big deal. But in energy, you got to get rid of that. The only animals that are having problems in trauma are the animals that live with humans. Dogs and cats will feel that because they see their owners doing it, so they do it. They also realize it's any trauma they are going through, They're letting it go, but they're pulling that trauma out of their owners every time they're being petted. I would rather have a person angry than depressed, because anger is an outward energy that wants to survive. Depression is completely despondent, completely backwards. You're stepping back and you don't want to do anything. It's almost like, okay, lion, take me. So we want people more angry. We don't want to have them stay there for very long. It's just that sort of application to get them out of the depression into the anger, but then into something else better. And it could be something like contentment. Eventually, it'll be forward motion, enthusiastic kind of thing. So let's get right into our meditation. What I want you to ask yourself is to choose any of these techniques. The one that either you like the universe, how does this get any better? Where you're giving space to whatever answer that you're looking for. This is not scanning. All you're doing is you're completely blank. If you have a hard time keeping your energy blank and you see things, then maybe your technique will be the one before that. And that's when your eyes are going back and forth, because then you're constantly scanning, because then it's all these options are coming to you. And then write them down. Have a piece of paper beside you. As they start coming in, start writing down some of the options. You're going to get some wild, wild options. Okay? So you got to write down everything that you come up with. If you're going to use that technique, you got to write down at least 20 things. How can we increase business? Your guys are going back and forth, back and forth. Oh, okay, we can do more marketing. We do more podcasts, more of this, more of that. Just write anything that comes to you that's scanning, and you just keep writing it down. Do at least 20. So that's the goal. As many options as possible. Once you see all the options, depression is gone. Because depression itself, the whole meaning of it, is the least amount of options in your life. Then we get depressed. You're looking at 20 different things, we get encouraged. So it's like walking into a room and there's no furniture, no pictures, nothing, no carpeting. And then you're seeing things coming into the room, these ideas. It has to be totally empty for that to work. If your mind is still going and still going through the research in your head, that doesn't work, because the answer will show itself the best way it needs to in emptiness. The other one is complete 180, where you're trying to bring in as many things as possible and you want your mind to activate. It's whichever one that you are good with. If you're looking back and forth, you're scanning. You can't provide an empty space if you're scanning, because then you already have something in mind. So if I ask you, what do you want for supper? And you say hamburger, because I have hamburger all the time. That doesn't work for anything that you want anything different. You can't have anything in mind. It's got to be empty space. So when you say to the universe, how does this get better? This is my business, or this is my home, whatever. The insight that you're looking for that's making you sort of down. Okay, let's say you're looking for a spouse or a girlfriend or somebody to share your life with. Just say, okay, universe, how does this get better? And then have nothingness. What do you see? The answer will come. The answer will come out of the emptiness. If I'm scanning, I'm going back and forth and looking for different ways on what the universe is telling me of what I should do. So it's a complete opposite. One, you'll get one or two maximum visions, and the other, you're going to get 20, because your mind is now activated. The other one, there's no mind activation. It's completely open. You just say to the universe, how does this get better? Or you go back and forth in that way. Okay. You try one, okay, and then in another time, try another one, and then just see where your abilities land. Do you have the ability to keep yourself in emptiness? Then you're golden. It took me a lot to be able to do the emptiness thing, because I'm very detail-oriented. And when I ask a question, I already have like five things I want to do. So it wasn't optimal in the beginning, but over time, I sort of learned how to create this space. And that's how I did it, like walking into an empty room. Now, what do I see? What is in there in my mind that comes to me just like that? Because the answer wants me to see itself. Choose one that you feel comfortable with, and we're going to try the sunlight meditation. It is the forward motion sun And so it has a nice masculine forward motion energy to it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.